This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
California, California, luôn gấu là rong gấu, luôn đấu là rong đầu. Chỉ tiếc là mùa trốn.
Hey, this is Yeo with the Multicultural 1600 AM. This is the Hmong American Hour, and today I have a special guest. His name is Jerry Yang. And today he'll be sharing a little bit about his story, and we'll be talking about his restaurant in a little bit. So, Brother Jerry, say hi to them.
Hello, everyone.
So, can you introduce yourself a little bit to those that don't know who you are?
Well, my name is Jerry Yang, and I am a Fresno native. I grew up in Fresno and just kind of left Fresno in 1986, but I came back in 2007, so I'm here now.
So why did you take off?
I went away for college. I attended a college in northern San Francisco and did my undergrad over there. And then after that, went to grad school in Southern California.
Okay.
Got married, raised some kids. And 2007, just decided to come back to Fresno.
Awesome, awesome. You know, kind of like you, I kind of took off to a different state after high school.
Yes.
And for me, it was a great experience. Could it open my mind up to other stuff? How was your experience? Share that with us.
You know, like Hmong people, the parents are very protective. And so they kind of want the family to be together and as a community, especially the girls. You know, but the boys, you just, when I graduated from high school, I just made up my mind and say I wanna go away and I just kind of explore and, you know, create my own waves, you know, if you will. So my parents were they were not very supportive, but I just said to them, you know what, I found college, I really like it, I'm gonna go. So I just made up my mind, but it really changed my life. Yes, it made you in a way you just become your own man, if you will.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
you explore on your own and just learn to be tough on your own.
You know, it's kind of like, this is a for a business segment here, and it's kind of like business in a sense. Uh-huh. You're going to get into business, sometimes you have to decide what business you want to get into and not wait for all the answers to fall in your lap and just
absolutely
make that decision.
Yes,
go on,
I believe in that. You know, in life, I believe that there are three types of people. Those that are just waiting for things to happen, you know, and there are those that just watch other people make things happen. And then there are those that actually make things happen in their lives. So I like to be number three and not number one or two.
You know, can you share us, when did you get to the U.S.?
My family came in 1979. We arrived in Nashville, Tennessee, October 2nd, 1979.
Oh, Nashville, huh?
Yes, yes. Out of all the beautiful states and cities, it had to be Nashville.
Okay, okay. So yes. how did you guys make your way all the way to California here?
From there, we went to Kansas City. There was a program, an English program for the parents. So my father wanted to learn English. So we went over there and we lived there for about 3 years or so. And then we heard the Fresno had the opportunity to farm. And
yes, yes.
My father got excited. So he moved my family to Fresno. And we did farm for like 4 years, you know, and throughout my high school years. But after 4 years, we just kind of quit.
You know, that's one of the things that our parents are really good at is farming.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I think that's so true, too. I mean, we came to Illinois in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And just for 1 year there, it migrated all the way to Long Beach. And
oh, wow.
For about 1 or 2 years there, everybody just came to Fresno.
You came to the beautiful city. I ended up in the, my family ended up in the slums of Nashville. And then, boy, I mean, I just, when I first came to America, I envisioned America to be like the land of milk and honey, if you will, yes, you know, yes. And just, and we, when we went to Nashville, we were putting up, I probably one of the poorest projects in Nashville.
Oh.
It was very heartbreaking, and I had a second thought. I said, wow, this can't be America. You know, this, come on.
Yes. You know, but one great thing was like the struggles that we go through. And we learn to appreciate a lot more, especially where you're at right now.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those struggles, trust me, they serve a purpose in your life.
Yes.
You know, they mold you, and they, you know, like a potter that just keep molding you, and until you become somebody that, if you, in your heart, if you have a, you know, if you have a good, you have a good thought of what you want to be, what you want to accomplish, you know, eventually those experiences will bring you to that point, and that becomes, I mean, that's just part of your character right there, you know?
Yes, yes. Definitely. It will develop you to mm-hmm. who you are.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that's why I always tell people, don't be afraid to try mm-hmm. something. Try when you're young, because yes. you will experience more and you will come to know more.
Yeah, you
know?
You can't be afraid. No, you can't go through life being scared. And as you know, I'm a poker player, you know? And so,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I mean, going through the World Series of Poker, there were moments that I was actually scared, you know, but if you don't push those chips all in, you know, the term we're using in poker is all in. Sometimes in life, you have to go all in.
Yes,
you know?
You have to.
If you don't take that chance to go all in, you're not going to find out, you're not going to win that big pot, and you're not going to advance to the next stage. So my whole life has been mostly all in events.
Yes, awesome. So before we go into more about poker there.
Yes.
What was your major in college?
Biology, actually.
Biology,
yes,
okay.
I got my BS degree in biology. I wanted to be a medical doctor. I was actually a pretty good student. You know, I graduated from a local high school, valedictorian in my class.
Wow.
You know, the only valedictorian in my class. And my father had a vision of me becoming a medical doctor, and I went to college. I actually maintained a pretty good GPA, 3.9,
oh, wow.
almost 4.0 GPA, you know, and got accepted to med school. I took a year off, and I just decided not to go. So I went into psychology instead, and I went to grad school. You know, I got my graduate degree in psychology instead.
You know, I've always been interested in psychology.
Uh-huh.
When I first got introduced to it,
yes,
I believe that, you know, it's amazing. It gets you to
it
see
yes.
how people do things, and how people
yeah,
think.
Yeah.
You know,
their behaviors. How yes, it's a pretty fascinating field. It can be a little scary at times if
yes.
if you take a lot of time thinking about people's behavior and their personality, it can be a little scary, but you know, that was part of my job. You know, I had to do what I had to do, you know, help people. Yeah,
you know, that major kind of helped you out in poker, didn't it?
It did. It really did. You know, long story short, I saw poker on the TV one evening, and I remember pointing to the TV and saying to my wife, honey, I can't do that. And that was the 2005 World Series of Poker main event.
Uh-huh.
That's the year that Joe Hashem from Australia won. And I mean, who would know? I mean, 2 years later, I actually won the whole thing. You know, it's just really kind of, wow, outrageous, unbelievable.
So yeah. Before that, you watched that on TV, were you already playing poker a little bit or no?
No, that was the first time that I saw. And then after that night, like a couple of weeks later, I decided to buy a couple of poker books.
Oh, wow.
And started reading. And I usually do a lot of reading anyway, you know, and because of the field that I was in, you know, I had
yes.
to constantly read and part of my job, you know. And so I remember my wife saw me reading the two poker books. She said, those are not your regular books. And she said, what kind of books are there? I said, one of them is called Super System, written by Doyle Brunson, one of the, like, he's considered the main, the godfather of poker, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's still alive. He lives in Vegas right now. And I elaborate a little bit more to my wife that it's poker. I like to, you know, start playing poker. And I made a promise to her that I would take 5% of my paycheck every month and just play with that.
Okay.
And if I lose it all, then I just wait for the next month. And to my surprise, I started winning, you know?
Oh, wow.
I started winning. And 2007, I won a seat, the $10,000 seat to Vegas.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to take the $10,000 cash, but last minute, I decided, okay, use the $10,000. I told the casino, use the $10,000, buy the seat, and then I just go play.
Okay.
And very first day, that I played at the World Series of Poker, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, was actually at my table.
Oh, you really?
Know? Yes.
Wow.
Not kidding. True story. And I was in C8. He was in C3. I was so starstruck. I couldn't concentrate. I said, I can't believe I'm here with Tobey Maguire, you know? It's just a huge star, and oh, my goodness. But long story short, we played for like 10 days, and, you know, 6,300 players later, I became a world champion. I
just, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Took all the money home.
You know, wanting to do things, yes, you don't have to plan all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to have a little bit of knowledge of what you're going to get into too, right?
Yes.
Before you start.
Yeah. I think like everything else in life, you sometimes it's curiosity. Yeah. You know, you have that, you know, like instinct or that inkling feeling, if you will. You know, you just said, wow, that's interesting, and I would like to try it. And when you have that curiosity, then have the courage to explore, because sometimes that can really change your life. Because if you miss an opportunity, guess what? It doesn't mean that you're going to win all the time or you're going to lose all the time. But if you don't explore, you know, you lose the opportunity. Sometimes opportunities don't come twice.
It doesn't. And if you don't do anything, you can't win anything,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You always lose because
yes.
You never did anything. So you always lose, you know.
Yes, yes.
I totally agree with that. You know, 5 years ago, I went into a network marketing company. Uh-huh. And after talking to 20 people, I didn't have anybody else to talk to.
Mm.
And I didn't have a business or professional network that I could reach out to.
Yes.
And it's like you're saying, it's that urge that, oh, I found something very interesting to me and I wanted to grow it.
Uh-huh.
But how do I do it?
Yeah.
So I had that urge, and 5 years ago, it just led me to a total different direction. Get into networking professionally,
mm-hmm.
build a connection with businesses and organization. And from there, I learned so much because I said, hey, you know what? I really need that. So I'm going to go and just try whether I trip and fall or not. I'm going to do it.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
it's just a matter of making that decision. That's it. Because if you don't take that first step, guess what? It doesn't matter how long, you're going to be exactly where you are. And nothing's going to change if you don't take that first step. So it takes that courage, it takes that desire, if you will.
Yes.
You know, it would, because life is all about having a desire. If you don't have a desire, nothing's going to change.
That is so true there, guys. So did you stop after 2007 with poker?
I won 2007. I got sponsorship by, you know, a few poker sites and casinos, you know, they sponsor me for like 5 years. And then in poker, of course, you have to keep winning, you know what I mean? Because if you don't keep winning, then your name can just kind of go down. But I did good. I signed some pretty good contracts for like 5 years. And I just decided, you know, I'm gonna focus on business, you know. So I got into real estate investment a little bit, did some house flipping, you know, fix things and sell it, stuff like that, you know. So, and I got into a restaurant, just decided to get into the restaurant. It just kind of, I just tried to fulfill a childhood dream of mine. And we can talk about that later.
Definitely, you know. I think it's that where you have the urge to get into business.
Uh-huh.
you know, that's that little drive that takes you that route and you just chase after it, you know. Like you said, it's a dream of yours that you want it.
Yes.
So whether you were playing poker, it drove you all the way to that point, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So do you have any advice to those that want to start something or see something that or they want to get into a different industry? What should they do?
Well, first of all, I think most of us kind of know what we want to do, you know, the majority of us anyway.
Yes.
You know, I would encourage to really, I'm going to use the poker experience, for example, you know, if you see something or you heard about something that, kind of gives you that curiosity, like I said earlier, or if you have a good feeling that, hey, you know, this might, sometimes you just have to trust your instinct. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
You know, and once you have that instinct, then you just gather your courage and just go for it. Win or lose, just at least explore, you know?
Yes.
And that road may end somewhere, but at least explore, because you never know. If you don't explore, you're not going to know. But if you explore, that leads to something else. That could open more doors for you.
Definitely.
So like poker, you know, I mean, if I had told my father that I would be, that would go to Vegas to play poker, he would just say, you know what, don't do it.
That's very true. So thank you, Jerry, for that great advice there. Cool. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Chỉ muốn
California, California, luôn gấu là rong gấu, luôn đâu là rong đâu.
All right, we are back with Jerry here. So now we're going to continue on with his story, but we're going to go into how he got into the restaurant business. So Jerry, tell a little bit how you got started there and why restaurant.
Hello, everyone. Again, good afternoon. Well, I got into the restaurant mainly because I wanted to fulfill a childhood dream of mine. You know, as a little kid, I was always hungry. I was always thinking about food. And, you know, the invasion of Laos, you know, my family escaped to our neighboring country, Thailand, placed in a refugee camp. And my stomach was actually bloated because of malnutrition. Very skinny. I was always thinking about food. I was always hungry. And I saw a few relatives of mine, my cousins, they died right in front of me, you know, because of malnutrition.
Yes.
And so I had this idea in mind. I said, wow. And I knew that my father had applied to come to America. So I said to myself, if I get to America, someday I would like to own a restaurant. So that dream, that little, absolutely, that thought was in my mind this entire time.
Wow.
You know, and so we got to America, even though, like I said to you earlier, you know, living in the slums of Nashville, Tennessee and Kansas City, Kansas, I want to share one little emotional story with you. I saw a little coupon.
Okay.
Said free French fries, right?
Uh-huh.
This was in Kansas City, but I couldn't read the small print.
Okay.
So I walked literally 2 miles to this McDonald's, thinking that I would get this free French fries, you know, bringing this coupon. I think I was 12 at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember it was snowing, it was cold, but I wanted this French fries so bad. So I walked 2 miles. And when I got there, I got crushed emotionally. They said, you know, you have to buy something to get the French fries.
Oh, no.
And I was so heartbroken. It was sad. But, you know, that little experience right there really made me who I am today. And when I won the World Series of Poker and just, you know, I try my best to help the community, to give back to the community, especially those that are less fortunate than I am. And so, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, I did donate some money to the Ronald McDonald House, you know, the $275,000, you know,
wow,
to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, another $275,000. And then feed the children that they actually came to Thailand to feed some of our Hmong people.
Wow.
You know, and I gave some of those money to them. But, you know, just that little experience that I shared with you, like the French fries and living in the camp, that really encouraged me to own a restaurant. And
That's amazing.
Had this idea where I can eat whenever I want, cook whenever I want. And I don't have to worry. So to answer your question, that was the main reason. Yes.
You know, talking about hunger, I remember a story when I was little. You know, it's so true. Our stomach was bloated.
I could
see my picture and my stomach was bloated.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't have food and my parents was out in the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So there was only one drumstick and I was the little one.
Yes.
And I was supposed to eat it. And my two older brother were just supposed to eat rice and whatever else is there.
Yeah.
So me and my middle brother actually were fighting for them.
especially the drumsticks. Yeah, of course.
We're little, you know. Yeah. There was no food because we were running for our lives back then.
Right.
You know, we laugh about it, but it was a struggle. But
yes, of course.
It turned us to a better person.
Absolutely.
And we learned from all the struggles that we have to go to there.
Mm.
So how did you learn how to cook Japanese food?
Well, I have always been thrilled by Japanese food, okay. especially sushi.
Uh-huh.
I love the art of it. I love the just the texture of sushi, different types of fish. I mean, just the colors of, you know, themselves. I just love it. And on top of that, I know sushi is very healthy for you.
Yes.
You know, fish. You know, you can't go wrong with fish.
That's very true.
Yeah, yeah. So I just chose, I mean, I could have chosen to do Chinese food or Thai food, you know, but I chose Japanese because, again, I just love the art of it. And so when I decided to open a restaurant in Merced, I hired a Hmong chef. I believe he still lives in Fresno, and he came on board. He kind of trained me a little bit, and then after that, I just kind of tweak everything, you know, to my own personal lights, you know.
Wow.
And I changed a few things. I changed the recipe a little bit, and I asked my customers for their feedback, you know. And over the years, I tried to do it better, you know. And I'm not bragging, yeah. You know, right now people try my dynamite sauce at my restaurant. They say, Jerry, you got the best dynamite sauce that we had ever tasted.
Is that the one you brought to our Q&A session?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it was good.
The teriyaki and the dynamite sauce. And I came up with my own dressing, you know, salad dressing. And people just love it, you know. In a nutshell, I just... You know, sometimes you have to learn from other people, but if you want to be original, you want to be authentic in your own way, you just have to kind of explore other ways to make it better for you.
True.
Yes.
I think sometimes we have to be careful when we see something and we have like, wow, it looks cool, or they're doing it, I think mm-hmm. I should do it.
Yes.
You have to have passion into it too, because any business you go into, or let's talk about a restaurant. Going to a restaurant, I mean, I used to work for a fast food restaurant for a little while
uh-huh,
too.
Yes.
After a while, there's no passion in flipping a burger, you know, and the smell of it. So you're like, man, if I didn't need this money, I would quit, right? So cooking for people all the time like this, you have to have the passion to making those food.
You do.
Because you'll lose the quality.
Yes, absolutely. You got to have the passion. You got to have some set of goals, you know, what you want to accomplish.
True.
And if you don't have that, then it's just a daily routine. That's it. And it becomes very boring. And eventually you're not going to enjoy it. And, you know, people talk about success all the time. But I say, you know, success is what you do with what you have.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You know, and not the bank account you have, or the big house you have, or the education you have. But it's what you do that you enjoy, you know. You can be so rich and you can still be very, very unhappy.
That's very,
you know,
true.
And very unsuccessful. But if you're from middle class or even lower class, but if you use what you have and you enjoy doing it, to me, that's success right there.
So what's one of the biggest struggles getting into a restaurant business?
Obviously, the restaurant industry is so tough already.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of competition. And so you're just going to have to find your own niche, if you will, just be the best that you can be. You know, I believe in that. And if you're not going to be the best that you can be, you can't compete.
That's very true.
And being in the restaurant business, to me, it's a game of survival, if you will. You know, you can't, because you got bills to pay, you got overheads, and if you run really good, I mean, your profit might be 20%, you know? If you're not that good, maybe 10%, but if you just take it easy, guess what? You're going to go belly up, and that's not good.
That's very true. I mean, now a lot of restaurants stays in business more than a year to 5 years, you know.
Oh my God! You know, people think you own a restaurant, you're rich, and you have a lot of money. Man, they don't. They have no clue of the long hours that you put in, or, you know, the worries that you have at the end of the month. That, you know, you have to pay your bills and your rent and your workers' comp, and it's a lot of headache. But as long as you do what you love and you know what you're doing, you know, you know how to control your costs, then you can make a good living at it.
Yeah, once we come back from our break, I want to you to share a little bit more, a bit on what's important, like, for instance, customer service, cleanliness, and stuff in there. You know, I walk into some of these restaurants, I'm like, what are you guys thinking?
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
So we'll be right back.
I would be happy to talk about that.
Yeah, yes. We'll be right back from our break, and we'll share some of that with you guys. All right, we are back with Jerry here. So, Jerry, let's continue with talking about the restaurant there. What are some of the stuff that, if you're going to be in a restaurant and own a restaurant, what should you focus on?
First of all, you have to know the industry, okay? Know the restaurant industry. Obviously, to me personally, the health codes are so important to me.
Yes.
Because if I don't understand all the health codes and what is expected of me as a restaurant owner, I can't run my business,
That's true.
And so, or I may make money here and there, but eventually people is going to know, you know? And when inspection comes, I'm going to be in trouble.
That's very
true. So knowing the health codes and just operate your business according to the law, you know? And so that way, number one, you're doing something good for the community by stopping disease from spreading to other people,
yes,
you know, infection,
yes.
Airborne illnesses, all of those. So you gotta be very, very careful in everything that you do. So cleanliness, you know, make sure that all your staff are trained, you know, how to handle food, you know, how to take care of your restaurant, and make sure you have proper equipment.
That's very true.
If you don't have proper equipment, then obviously pretty soon your food will not be good, and that's going to lead to more problems later. So, you know, it's one thing to know the business side of it, but it's another thing to really know how to keep your restaurant from being infested by other, you know, like other stuff like cockroaches, mice, I mean, all of those.
Yes.
You have a lot of stuff that can really ruin your business if you don't stay on top of everything.
True,
so
true.
The main thing is you want to run your restaurant or your business ethically, you know, and according to, like I said earlier, about the health codes, and just treat your customer like you want to be treated. If you walk into a restaurant, what do you expect? You know, how would you like to be treated? How would you like to be served? Do the same thing for your customers.
True.
If you have that mindset, we do all the time, you're gonna do just fine.
You know, working in the fast food restaurant before, you know, it doesn't matter what your opinion of McDonald's is, they have a system.
Uh-huh,
in place.
They do, yes.
And any business, but especially in the restaurant business, if you have a system in place, it runs a lot smoother, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And there's one term that I learned from there is clean as you go.
Yes.
And that's so simple, but it's so true. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't clean as you go, the next day, if it doesn't get clean, it builds up.
Yes.
And it gets harder and harder to clean.
Yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
That true?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And that includes like washing hands, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, if you practice washing your hands on a regular basis, guess what? You prevent illnesses from being spread to other people, you know? And if once you get in the routine and the habit of doing that, it becomes very it's gonna lead to less problems, you know? You're not gonna have much problem, but if you don't teach your staff, if you don't train your staff how to do that, you don't cover your food good, you don't, you know, keep the temperature at the right temperature, then, you know, that's going to lead to more problems. So really, really do care about your business, because when you care about your business, that shows that you care about your customers at the same time, you know, and vice versa.
That's very true. I've been working with in the retail industry for a long time too, and if you don't show as a manager there, if you don't show that you care, mm-hmm. about the job that you're doing,
yes,
your associates don't care too.
Absolutely.
And when they don't,
yeah.
care too, they don't do a good job. And eventually it reflects on you.
Yes.
So especially as a small business owner, if you don't show that you care, whether you have your family just working for you or whoever is working for you, and if they don't care, this is my motto, if they don't care, they need to leave.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, so staff training is very, very important. Obviously, your hiring process is also very important. You got to pick the right people with the right attitude, not just because you want to better your business, but really hire people that show that they care about your customers.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about the customers. Yeah, without the customers, you have no business. And so people, I have this saying, yeah, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care about them.
You got to show them on a daily basis. That is very true. And when we're on break, we're talking about customer service. You know, sometimes you forget because you're busy, or your boss is saying, hurry up, serve those customers, hurry up, get this over there. And you forget that the important thing is the person standing in front of you that you're serving.
Right.
You know, yes, you may take their food over there maybe a minute late.
Mm-hmm,
but
yes.
If you treat them well and you actually say hi and have a nice conversation with them, that 1 minute won't bother them as much as if you were rude and didn't pay attention to them. That 1 minute to them now affects them a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that 1 minute that you didn't do right, that could really haunt you, for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and so most people are so very forgiving and very understanding, but you might run into some people that they don't take any BS.
That's very true. Because you have to understand, they're spending their hard-earned money in your restaurant.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
The other day, I posted up a thing saying that word of mouth is one of the most powerful ways of promoting yourself.
Uh-huh.
If you understand that, when all these customers are walking through your door, each time you deal with them, and they, whether you do right or wrong, if you don't learn how to do it the right way, when they leave your restaurant, they're going to be telling whoever they want to tell how bad that experience was.
Yes, absolutely. And some people will even go further than that by adding stuff that they were.
Yes, they will exaggerate, say how awful this was. It. They did this and this to it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I can accept, like a true feedback, like good constructive criticism,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
But sometimes if you don't do it right, some people can turn that ugly side,
then
they can really hurt you, your business-wise, they can really hurt you. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why those customers are important. When I was right out of college, I found this quote on, I was working with Taco John. And it says, a customer is not always right, but a customer is a customer.
Yes.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, who's paying, right?
Yeah, who's paying?
Who's paying, who's receiving? So obviously the payer would usually, you got to give them the respect. They spend hard, like you said, they spend their hard-earned money and they expect something decent, something in return, Whether it's food or service, whatever it is, you have the obligation, the responsibility to do the best that you can for the money that they spend.
It is. Take it to the simplest form. It's a business transaction.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So they're giving you money for some type of service or product. That, even if it's a product, it still involves servicing. Okay?
Absolutely.
So they're exchanging that for that. So when they give you money, they're going to expect you to treat them their right.
Absolutely. Yes, of course. And I always tell my staff, a simple smile will eliminate some potential problems,
True.
Yeah, just say hello, welcome, or how's your day? Those simple conversations goes a long way. So, and you know what? The thing is, those don't cost a penny.
It doesn't.
Yeah, but then we don't do it. And then that could lead to costing more money.
Yes. that's kind of funny because when I was working for a retail store.
Yes.
So a customer came in with their children.
Mm-hmm,
one of the child, and the child stepped on one of those pins that we pinned the clothes on. It fell on the floor. Yeah. It didn't make a big hole. It bleed a little bit. But they went home. And the store that happened at the store, the manager had to do was follow up and call, say, hey, sorry that happened. How is your kid? They didn't do that. So they got mad because they didn't call and check on it.
Exactly.
So they
follow up. Yeah.
They called the corporate office. They wanted to sue them for that.
Wow.
You see that little thing turned into a big issue?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So do you have any words of wisdom or anything that you want to share with them about the restaurant industry or anything in life that, because we're getting a little bit closer towards the end of the segment?
Absolutely. You know, like I said earlier, whatever you want to do in life, you have a dream. Obviously, you know, people, to me, I like to think of a lot of people have big dreams. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Me, on the other hand, I like to dream big.
Dream big is good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, always, whatever you do, always dream big and just follow that dream and make it happen, because if you don't take that courage, if you don't take that first step, nothing's going to happen. So if you're not good at something, be good at it first and then just pursue that and you're going to be fine. So follow your passion. Sometimes your life experience, like mine, because I was so poor, I was so hungry, like I said earlier, that brought me to where I am now, owning a restaurant. So go with the flow, but at the same time, stick to your passion and your goals in life. So last but not least, you know, but for those of you who are listening, I want to say a few things about my restaurant. Is it okay with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Shobu Japanese Cuisine opened 2 months ago, and it's located on the corner of southeast corner of Blackstone in Herndon. And the four main categories that we serve over there are sushi, ramen, teriyaki, and curry. So if you're hungry for any of those, come by, ask for me. My name is Jerry Yang. I am the owner. And also, if you want to play a couple of hands of poker with me, come by and we'll play a couple of hands just for fun, no money, okay? So thank you so much for having me here. Thank
definitely,
you.
Definitely. So if you have never met Jerry before and you'd love to meet him, please go to his restaurant. And if you want to ask him a question about life and stuff, feel free to ask for him when you're at his restaurant. Because
absolutely.
He's
and if
very
you want
knowledgeable.
Yeah, if you want something, but you want to know about restaurant business or especially Japanese restaurant, you know, I'd be more than happy to share with you. I mean, I won't share with you my recipe, but but I'd be more than happy to share with you how to run a business, how to run a restaurant, how to start a new brand new restaurant, you know, the process of opening a restaurant, how hard it is, the pros and the cons of owning a restaurant, you know. So but one thing for sure, when you own a restaurant, remember this, you don't own the restaurant. The restaurant owns you. Because it requires a lot of hard work.
All right, Jerry, thank you for coming and joining me for this segment. And I look forward to having you on the show again.
Absolutely. I would be honored. I would be happy to come back.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. And we look forward to you being with you on Thursday with me.
California, California, luôn gấu là rong gấu, luôn đâu là rong đâu. Chỉ tiếc là mùa trống, tôi chẳng dễ là mùa đâu. Tiếc gì mùa lại mùa phong, mùa sẽ tự nhiên. California, California, no chữ là xiên già, no chữ là xiên trông. Yêu thương bề sang phố phường, ta ý trong mong là mùa đau, kia chi mùa cho xiên khâu, đã nó đau trong cơn gầu. California, California, mong thiệt thua mong trên mùa, chiều xin đâu ua ba chúa ta bỏ vào giữa trống để công thể mong và vừa thấu lo. California, California.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.